Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. We ask, O God, that our hearts and our minds are open and receptive to your holy word. Help us, O God, as we look at your word, that we see what you have to say to us. Help us, O God, to do your will, not only today, but every day, the rest of our lives, that we serve you and you alone. And we pray now you'll be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the texts that were read, and we see in Isaiah, when we read that text, that God was prophesying this some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And Isaiah wrote this as the Spirit moved him in a mighty way. And as the Spirit moved him to write this, and we find that the good news of salvation was already proclaimed there. We find then that God not only moved in a mighty way amongst the people, but he gave the prophecy of Jesus Christ himself. And we read, if you remember, when Jesus went into Nazareth, and they brought him the book or the scroll, and he opened it to Isaiah 61. And he read part of the second verse only. He read the first verse and part of the second. Remember when he read, he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He did not read, and the day of vengeance of our God, because that is coming. We see the vengeance of God will come when he pours the seven bowl judgments out upon the people in Revelation. And so Jesus hands back the book, and he tells them of, in that day even, that this is fulfilled in their hearing and in their sight. We can see that we know that God sent Jesus Christ into the world. He sent Jesus into the world because he loved us and because he wanted us to know all about his Savior, about his Son being the Savior of the world, which was planned before the foundation of the world. We find, too, that he wants us to trust in him and to have the faith that we need to trust in him day by day. And so we see that the Lord has anointed me, Jesus said, to proclaim the good tidings. Jesus healed many people in his day while he was here on earth. And he healed those that were sick, those that were lame, and he even raised the dead. We find that John's disciples at one point was sent to Jesus and says, "Are you the one that we're looking for?" And as they stayed there and they watched Christ heal the sick and forgive sins, cast out demons, and then he tells them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and what you have heard, and that you should not be offended because of me." We find that John knew or should have known, even though, because he was a human being like you and I, we see that he had doubts even while he was in prison, that he was cast in prison because he was innocent, and he was cast in prison because he had told Herod, "You are sinning by having your brother killed and taking his wife for yourself." And then we see that Herodias, when the daughter danced before Herod, Herod promised her, whatever she wanted, and she went to her mother and she says, "Bring me John the Baptist's head on a platter." And so this was done. He did not want to kill John the Baptist. I believe he was under the conviction of sin, and he would probably go and talk to John, yet he did not have the gumption or the stamina to stand up for Jesus Christ. And Herod then gave himself over to the world because he felt more profitable having people look at him and saying he was so great because he was a king, even though he was a wicked king, and he did not do what was right in the eyes of God. So we see that very plain. We see the vengeance of God coming in Revelation, and we find, too, that Jesus or God goes on. He says he's sending all those who mourn to console those who mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes, because the righteous will live by faith. So as we look at our portion of Scripture today, which we find back in Mark, then chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, we see why we need faith as a little child. The faith in which we can trust in Jesus above all things. So let us stand at the reading of God's holy word, beginning at verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We find here the little children are brought unto God. You know, when I first came into full assurance of having Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was asked if I would give a testimony and a short, brief message about my salvation. And so I used Matthew 18, 1 through 6. And if you remember that, Jesus took a little child and set that child in the midst of the people he was talking to. And he says, unless your faith, or unless you believe as this little child does, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I use that particular portion of Scripture. And afterwards, I had a man that had been walking with the Lord for some years come up to me, and he says, "You cannot use that as a portion of Scripture for salvation for yourself." And I was puzzled, and so I asked, "Why not?" Well, he says, "Number one, you aren't a small child. And number two, how do we know if you have that same type of faith?" Well, I feel I do. I feel I have backslid many times. Yes, because of my wanting to do it my way instead of God's way. But we must have the faith as a small child that believes and trusts his parents, and as a small child that is willing to accept what they are told as the gospel truth. We are finding this more and more every day, and we find that this is what we have to do. It is hard for adults to have the faith of a small child sometime and say, "Lord, we trust you fully, because we feel, because of our wisdom, we might know better." Yet we find that God has given us, because he loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And through that, we find that what Ephesians is telling us in Ephesians 6, as we look at that portion of Scripture, we see, and reading it again, "Children, tell your parents everything they are expected to do." I don't get no remarks. You were wondering what that meant. I was wondering if I was going to get any remarks. Fathers, do not drive your children to anger, but bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. You know, it reminds me of a family some years ago. They had a four-year-old, and I don't remember just what all was going on, but I asked about this four-year-old starting kindergarten in Sunday school. Well, we can't do that, he told me, and his wife was standing beside him, and I says, why? Well, he has to make up his own mind. The child is telling the parents what to do at 4 years old, and I brought that up to him. We have to let them decide for themselves to know how they want to live, how they want to have things. And I brought this up. You are to bring and teach your children in the way of God. You are to bring them up in the admonition and nurture of God. That child is 4 years old. That child trusts you. And they would not agree with me. That boy did grow up. I think the last I heard, he had a pretty good job, but he had nothing to do with church, because to him, what he could get in the world was more important than going to church or searching the scripture to see what he should be doing, to having God first. I was listening a little bit to the Sunday school class, and in James, and they're talking there about the man went out to a different city, and he says, we'll stay there for a year and we'll make money and make profit. He forgot God. He did not search the scripture. He did not see what God wanted him to do. We many times are doing the same thing, aren't we? And you know, if we take and look back in Jeremiah and chapter 29, starting at verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants us to have a future with him. He wants us to have a future with Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He says, I sent my only begotten Son into the world that you, believing on him, will have eternal life, that you can trust in him, and that you can give your whole life over to him, that you can obey the commands he gives you, and that you can be the light and the salt of the earth. And then he goes on and he says, then you will call upon me, God says, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God says, my ear is open. You know, every morning he gives us a clean slate. He gives us mercy and grace and compassion. Every morning we have a clean slate in which we can serve Jesus Christ and serve our Lord and Savior and not have to be concerned about the things in the world, because he tells us not to be entangled again with the affairs of the world. And then he says, you go and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How wonderful that is to know, and what a promise that we will find God as we search for him with all of our heart. That means we have Christ first in all that we say or do. We have Christ first as we go through life and as we go about our jobs. We find that we have Christ in all things. And then when we're talking about the vengeance of God, we can see some of the things in Malachi that God tells us will happen. And as we look into Malachi chapter 4, we find, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch because of their sin, because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, because they have thought they knew better than what God knows. They thought they could do without the Creator of the world, and they want to then live for themselves. And then he goes on, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the stall-fed calves, and you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day that I do this, says the Lord. And we can look back into the third chapter, and there we see God says the people wanted a book of remembrance, so he wrote the book of life. Is your name found in that book of life? You see, Jesus has told us in Daniel and the other places that when the books are opened, they are searched through there. And if your name is found written in that book of life, you will have eternal life with God, with Christ, because you have trusted in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But if your name is blotted out of that book of life, you will find that you will have, as it tells us in Matthew 13:28, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you wicked person. And then you would see, you would have damnation and everything that goes with it forever and forever. And we find in Colossians 3:20 and 21, it tells us this, that children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we find when we were children, did we obey our parents all the time? And I think most of us would have to say no. There was times we might do what they told us to do, but inside of us we were thinking, you don't know what life is all about, even though they had the experience of life and we didn't. But we thought our little bit of intelligence that we had was so superior to what maybe our folks had. And so we find that going there too. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. How many of us have made promises to our children and we couldn't keep them for one reason or the other? And we find that as we had to make adjustments in our own life, we found that the children were not happy, but they accepted what we did or what we had to do. And we find that so very plainly so many times that we have to try and not do things in our own way, but seeking God's will first. And the things of life will grow the way they should. We want to set things up the way we would like to see them so many times. And we find that without God, we are going against the flow of the way God wants us to go. God wants us to remember that he sent Jesus into the world. God wants us to remember that Jesus died for us. He wants us to remember that Jesus took the rejection, the beatings, the hair pulling, the spitting in the face, all for us, because we as sinners could not pay that debt of sin. And yet Jesus came into the world because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into the world for us. And sending Jesus into the world, we find that we would be wise then to serve him in all things. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read beginning in verse 1, that this is what we have to do to not only have enduring the Word of God, but that the Word of God can live in our life day by day. And Peter tells us, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Isn't that great? You know, when a child is born, we see that they want the pure milk from the mother to grow strong. We give them nourished food, and we try to do everything we can to bring them up in the nourishment so they'll be strong and healthy in this physical life. We're to do the same thing, as told us in Ephesians, that we are to teach our children and to help them understand why God sent Christ into the world and how God wants them to serve Him. It is told to us that the Word will not return void. And many times we find we have brought up our children, maybe hopefully in the right direction, and taught them the Word of God, and they go astray. Yet we have the Word of God that when they're old, they will remember the Word. And prayerfully remembering them in prayer, they'll come back to God, they'll accept Him and ask for forgiveness of sins where they maybe have failed, and they will walk with the Lord. As parents, we find we have a great responsibility in which to not only pray for our children and grandchildren, but our neighbors as well, because we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we find that in doing this, we will be doing God's will. We find that we are to search the Word of God and to make sure we ourselves are right with Christ, that he, as searching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can live in us, through us, and teach us day by day. Finishing verse 3 in 1 Peter, it says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, Peter adds that, I believe, because of the people, many of them, that were pretending that they had Christ, pretending that they were walking with the Lord and they really weren't, or they had tasted the Word, but they were not searching the Word, and therefore they were going about their daily task, wondering why God wasn't blessing them, wondering why things weren't going the way they should, and wanting to set up things for themselves more than for the Lord. You know, God didn't promise everybody riches. He has nothing against riches if it's used for His glory and purpose. But if we are to heap riches upon ourselves or have other gods before Him, He says, I will punish you. And if you do not walk with Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot expect His blessings upon you for what you are doing. As you keep Him in first place in your life, and you keep Him first place, realizing that you have not only tasted the Word and tasted the good fruit of having eternal life, but that you will walk for Him, walk with Him day by day, you find that God will be there for you. Even if you're having trials in life, and many times we will do that because of our physical life, the sinfulness of our physical life that happened when the fall of Adam and Eve. Our physical nature dies because it did not follow what God wanted, but rejected Him and wanted to follow Satan by eating of the forbidden fruit. We find there too that we will not only be cast out if we do not follow Christ, but that we will find that Christ will have nothing to do with us. We can look at Mark or at Matthew chapter 13, verse 28, starting at verse 27, really. And it tells us, let's see, it tells us that we will be like the wheat and the tares, and that we find that God will take away from us eternal life if we do not follow him. We find that in the wheat and the tares, that the tares grew up with the wheat, and many people wondered why. But we find in life today that in life itself, that we live for the Lord or we live for ourselves. And as we live for ourselves, we're going to do away with the things that God wants us to do. And we will look to heap upon ourselves glory. We'll look to ourselves to see where we can do what we want instead of what God wants us to do. We find that Christ told his disciples and his followers that as he tells them to depart from him because they did not know him, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and forever. We find that in Revelation in many places, that in there itself, that Christ says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So it behooves us to not only teach our children, but teach ourselves, and to pray that God's will be done in all things. That as we pray, we are willing to let God not only walk with us, or help us to walk with him, I should say, but that as we walk with him, we would be willing to take any corrections that he wants to give us, that we would serve him and him alone for that, and that we would realize he is our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, to do your will. And help us, O Lord, that as we do your will, that we will follow you, that we will search the Scripture, and that in searching the Scripture, we will follow you day by day, regardless of the cost to us physically, but that we know you would take and reward us in eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 60.